sower to the last two verses in Proverbs 31, and we're looking specifically at verse 30 this week, which says, favor or charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain or passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And so you see, King James versus New King James, either favor or charm is deceitful, and beauty is either vain or passing. And that's the difference there between the two. They almost define each other in the two different versions there. But again, in this verse, as in the last verse we looked at, we see this woman being praised. And last week we talked about how she was being praised by her children, and we talked about her children being those who she cared for, those who the Lord has put under her care, not necessarily physical children, but as we looked at the definition of children, that it was people in general, and it could be any range of people, and that all that she has poured into them is now coming out of their lives, and what you can see in their lives was praiseworthy, and that's how she was being praised. And also her husband was praising her as well. And now we're looking at, again, another verse where it says, because of a character trait that's in her heart, she again is being praised. And it's her very life that is bringing her praise or honor through this verse. And why does her life bring honor? It's because of the character trait that we see in this verse. It's in the second part of this verse where it says, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And so this character trait here, if you look at the definition of fear here, is reverent. This woman has a reverence for the Lord. And again, that's an inner quality that eventually comes out on the outside, and it can be seen through her actions, through her words, through her very life. She fears the Lord, knowing and trusting Him, His word, and the benefits that following His word brings to her life. And so if we just break this verse down like we normally do, we're going to look at the word favor here, or charm is deceitful, and favor is pleasant words or acceptance. So a lot of times when we pray for people going into a situation, we'll pray for God's favor in a situation. But here, this favor, it says it can be deceitful. You know, yes, we want acceptance, and yes, we want things to be pleasant for us. But that can be, as this says, deceitful, because a lot of times it can be a pride thing, or it can be flattery, and we need to be careful of things like that, because there can be deception in favor. You know, if we're buttering somebody up because we want something, there can be, you know, the motives can be wrong there. Deceitful could be a disappointment, it could be a falsehood, it could be a lie, it could be fraud. And you often see people in work situations, you know, we used to call it brown nosing when we were in school, you know, that student was a brown noser because they wanted to get on the teacher's good side, but there was something fraudulent about their behavior, because they weren't necessarily trying to get on the teacher's good side because this was their actual character. It was they wanted something from that teacher, you know, or we want something from our boss, or, you know, we want a raise, or we want, you know, the pat on the back. And so there could be some wrong motives in that. So we have to be very careful about favor. And then it talks about the second part of that says, and beauty is vain or passing. And this beauty is an outward appearance. It's what's on the outside. And what does it say about outward beauty? It says that it is vain or it is passing. As This word vain here is a vapor or a breath. So we know that the word talks about our lives being but a vapor, you know. It's quick. We know on God's timeline that our lives are just a speck on the timeline. So, and the beauty that we may have when we're in our 20s, you know, it flees as we grow older, you know. It vanishes. It passes away, you know. And I see it more and more as my hair gets grayer and grayer. And, you know, wrinkles come more and more. And it's fleeting, you know. It's temporary. And that's not really where we want our reliance to be. We don't want people to like us or favor us or because of anything that's on the outside. We want our appearance to be because of what's coming out from the inside, true beauty. But a woman who fears or reverences the Lord, and this Lord here is the one true God, Adonai, the supreme God. He is so holy that his name at times is unpronounceable. So this woman reverences this God who is above anything else. When her life is lived solely for the purpose of pleasing him, and because he is holy and she doesn't want to bring any shame to his name, her life is going to be praiseworthy, because she's going to be walking in a way that honors him. And this praise here is to shine or to flash forth light. And what does the word say? Let your light so shine before men that they will praise your Father in heaven. So to flash forth light, to make a boast. And so this boasting is going to be in her Lord as she is reverencing him. Her behavior is going to be commendable and praiseworthy. We see two sides of the coin here. We see what's deceitful and what's passing. And she is not putting any stock in those things. And then we see what is going to last. And that is following the Lord, fearing him, reverencing him. And that brings beauty, true beauty, to this woman. And so I want to spend our time as we look in the Word now on the benefits that come from fearing the Lord, because there are tremendous benefits from reverencing him. So why should we lead a life that honors the Lord and where we are fearing the Lord? We're going to start at the beginning of the Bible, and we're going to march right through. And so we're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2. It will be the first benefit. It says that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and skip ahead a little bit, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. So here it is talking about fearing the Lord, and in this we see that one way that we can fear the Lord is by keeping his statutes and his commandments. And the result of that, or the benefit of following God's commands, is that your days will be prolonged. And why would our days be prolonged by following his commands? Because we're not leading a sinful life that's going to bring harm to our bodies. If we're putting drugs in our bodies, if we're putting alcohol in our bodies, if we're leading a promiscuous life, we could be bringing diseases into our bodies, which would shorten our life. But if we're following God's commands, we're going to be healthier. It's going to be better for us. There's going to be joy, and, you know, laughter is like medicine to our souls, and it's going to prolong our days. And so we want to be following his commands. So that's the first benefit. The second one is also in that same chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 24, it says, "And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is this day." So there is the benefit of preservation in his word. Keeping his commands, fearing him, is for our good. There's a lot of people, when you're talking to them about the Lord and asking them if they would like to accept him as Savior, will say, "You know, I'm going to do that another day because I'm going to miss out on all of this stuff." And we've talked about this before, what freedom there is in knowing Christ, you know, and following his ways, because you don't have to worry about all of the consequences of sin, and you really don't miss out on anything. But it preserves us, it keeps us alive, and it's for our good always. So there's another benefit of fearing the Lord. A couple chapters over, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6. And it's going to follow a pattern here. You're going to keep seeing the word command, statutes. "Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to follow him." And to fear him. If we are fearing the Lord and we're following his commands, it's going to keep us on that narrow path. We're going to be able to walk in his ways. A lot of times, I don't know about you, but if I am slacking, I'm not doing my devotions, I'm not in the Word, I'm neglecting the Word, all of a sudden, I'm not walking in his ways. I'm grumpy, I'm yelling at my kids, I'm doing things, perhaps watching things I shouldn't be watching, and all of a sudden I'm going, "Okay, how did I get to this place?" Well, I'm not following his commands. And if I'm not following his commands, I don't have this reverence for him. I've taken my eyes off of him, and the fear of him isn't there. And all of a sudden, I'm on this path. I'm not walking in his ways. But if I am fearing him, and I don't want to bring any dishonor to his name, and I want my life prolonged, and I want my life preserved, I'm going to be following him. I'm going to be fearing him. I'm going to be walking in his ways. So that's a benefit. If we're fearing him, if we're reverencing him, we don't want to bring shame to him, our walk is automatically going to go that way. So it's going to keep us on the right walk. Turn over a couple of books to Joshua, chapter 24. We're going to look at verse 14. It says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord." And so here in Joshua 24, we see that fearing the Lord is going to keep us from putting any other god in our life, from serving anything but our Lord. And it's going to help us to serve him with the right motives, because we're not going to be seeking favor or any outward praise. We're going to be serving him in sincerity and truth because we fear him and we want all the glory and honor to go to him. So the benefit of fearing him here is that, one, we're not going to put any other god above him, and two, we're going to serve him with the right motives. Now in 2 Kings chapter 17, we will find another benefit of fearing the Lord. 2 Kings 17, verse 39. It says, "But the Lord your God you shall fear, and he will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies." An incredible benefit there. If we fear the Lord, he will deliver us from our enemies. Do you feel like the enemy is raging? I sure do. And But he promises if we fear him, if we follow his ways, we walk in his ways, we follow his commands, we follow his statutes, guess what? He is going to deliver us from all of our enemies. It may not be an easy battle, but he is going to deliver us. So, an incredible benefit of fearing him. Job 28:28. This was in our study. Just a portion of that verse talked about fearing the Lord, and it said, to the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. So fearing the Lord brings wisdom into our lives. It also brings understanding and knowledge. And we see that in the beginning of Proverbs. But Psalms, if you'll turn to chapter 15 of Psalms, we see another benefit of fearing the Lord. Chapter 15, verse 4. A portion of that verse says, he, which is God, honors those who fear the Lord. And now, we never should be seeking any reward. We talked about that at length last study. But God will honor those who fear him. And again, any honor that we receive, we'll be placing right back on the Lord. Because any good that comes out of our life is only because of the work of our Lord in our life. But he will honor those who fear him. And that's where our Proverbs 31 woman is praised at the end of that verse. It's the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And why? Because he honors those who fear him. If you turn over to chapter 19. Psalms 19, verse 9. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. So, fearing the Lord is going to bring a purity in our life, a cleanness, and it's going to last. Psalms 33, 18 and 19. Says, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. So here, those who fear the Lord, guess what? God is keeping a watchful eye on them. No matter what path they take, God is watching them. His eye is on them. And that isn't to bring an afraid fear, oh my, God is watching me, but it's that preservation, you know, he's watching, he is guiding, he is directing, and also to deliver their soul from death, which we know he gives us salvation, and to keep them alive from famine, and there's that idea of him preserving us, no matter what circumstance comes into our life. He will keep us through it all if we fear him, if we reverence him. Next chapter, Psalm 34, verse 9, says, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want or lack to those who fear him. So he's going to provide every single one of our needs if we fear him. There's going to be no lack. And, you know, I was thinking when I read that word lack there, or no want, I was thinking about our Proverbs 31 woman, how when we started this chapter and we talked about her husband, how because she was trustworthy and how she did him good and no evil, he had no need of spoil, or there was no lack, you know, no need for, he didn't want anything, he didn't lack anything because of how she treated her husband. And here, God has that same treatment for her because she fears him and reverences him. Psalm 103:17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. So the another benefit that we receive from fearing the Lord, reverencing him, is he's going to pour out his mercy on us. And I love the verse that says his mercies are new every morning, because I know there are days where I blow it, you know, and blow it big time. But his mercy, he just pours it out on us. And it's from everlasting to everlasting. He's never going to take his mercy from us. Psalm 115, verse 11, says, "You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield." Verse 13 says, "He will bless those who fear the Lord." So what do we see here? Fear is combined with trust here. When we're fearing the Lord, we're reverencing him. When we're trusting in him, he's our help. He's our shield, and he's going to bless us. Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and those who hope in his mercy. So there, that one's coupled with that Psalm 103. The mercy of the Lord is for those, poured out on those who fear him. We can hope in that mercy. And a result of that is that the Lord is going to take pleasure in us. Because we fear him, because we hope in that mercy that he is going to pour out on us. And I think we talked a little bit last time about Enoch and how his testimony and the reason that God translated him was because he pleased the Lord. And how can we please the Lord? It says it right here. By fearing him. He takes pleasure in us if we fear him, if we reverence him. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So another benefit of fearing the Lord is that we're going to gain knowledge. Knowledge of our Lord, knowledge of his word, understanding of who he wants us to be. I was amazed during this study at all the benefits. Our God is so good to us, so much more. You know, I think of the verse in Ephesians where it talks about how he just goes exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or imagine. I mean, isn't this amazing? And they're not really repeating themselves here. All these verses, they're just different benefits. It's incredible. They just go on and on. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. And so the fear of the Lord is going to show us what God hates, and we can hate those same things. And it's going to cause us to turn from those things. If we're reverencing him, if we're fearing him, we're not going to want anything in our life that he hates, because if we allow those things in our lives, it's going to bring shame to him, and we don't ever want to bring shame to him. There's not going to ever be anything in our mouth, because he hates the perverse mouth, that pride. We're not going to be seeking favor or that outward beauty that we said is deceitful and it's fleeting. Instead, we're going to be running after the things that please him. Proverbs 10, verse 27, and this is one that does repeat, but it's worth repeating. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. Again, I say that's worth repeating because following his commands, walking in his ways, prolongs our lives, because the consequences of sin brings death. but fearing the Lord brings life. Proverbs 14, verses 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. So there are a few benefits here. First, we see that there's strong confidence in fearing the Lord. We have hope. There's strength in fearing the Lord, and we can have a confidence when people say, why would you ever want to follow the Lord? Why would you ever want to believe this? We can be confident in his word because we can trust it. We've seen God work on our behalf. There's confidence in it. And his children will have, a second one in the same verse, his children will have a place of refuge. You know, when the enemy is coming in strong, when the world is coming in strong, maybe your neighbors are coming in strong, maybe their music is playing really loud, you know what? We have a refuge that we can come to. And what is a refuge? It's a place of shelter. You know, we can come in under his refuge and be sheltered from the storms that come into our lives. And then verse 27 said, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And we just said, he prolongs our days. Following him, fearing him, brings life. Following sin and walking after sin brings death. But and it says that it's strong enough to turn one away from the snares of death. So it can turn us from the wrong path and onto the path that brings life. A couple chapters over, Proverbs 19, verse 23. Says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. He who has it will abide satisfied. He will not be visited with evil. So, fearing the Lord brings satisfaction to our lives. You know, we'll be at a place of peace. We'll be at a place of rest. Even though our circumstances may be difficult, we'll be satisfied. You know, we look at Paul and all that came into his life, and, you know, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, he was bitten by a viper, you know, so many things in his life. But what did he say? I've learned to be content no matter what circumstance I'm in. Whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor, whether I have a lot of food, whether I don't have a lot of food, whether my house is big, whether my house is small, I've learned to be content. And that's what this is talking about. If I fear the Lord, if I reverence him, no matter what place he has me in, I'm going to be satisfied with it. And it says, and he will not be visited with evil. That doesn't mean that difficult circumstances aren't going to come into our lives. But the evil one isn't going to be able to indwell us. He may come after us. We know that for Peter, Jesus told him, Satan's asked to sift you, and the Lord allowed it. But guess what? Jesus prayed for him. And on the other side, he was going to be able to strengthen the brethren because of what he went through. And the God allows some of these circumstances to come in our lives for the same reason, so that we can then strengthen the brethren, so that we can comfort wherewith we've been comforted by the Lord. Again, we'll be satisfied. We'll be okay with where God has us. Now, if we turn over to the New Testament, because I don't ever want to leave the New Testament out, we looked at an awful lot of the Old Testament there, but it also talks about the fear of the Lord in the New Testament. If we look in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. There's going to be peace. There's going to be edification. There's going to be building up in the fear of the Lord. Again, there's going to be walking on the right path. If you're fearing the Lord, There's going to be comfort. Because if you're fearing the Lord, you're walking in His ways, you're not grieving the Holy Spirit, that comfort of the Holy Spirit is going to be there in your life. Again, no matter what circumstance He allows into your life, He's going to have that peace beyond understanding. That comfort of the Holy Spirit is going to be there. And that's going to be visible. Others are going to see it. And the church is going to be multiplied. Tremendous benefit for fearing the Lord. Others are going to see it in your lives. And they're going to wonder, why? What is it? What's different? And they're going to hunger after that. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. Says, but sanctify the Lord your God in your heart, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And I know this doesn't say necessarily to fear the Lord, but we are going to be sanctifying the Lord or setting the Lord apart in our lives. We're going to be living a life that's holy because we fear Him. And what is the benefit that that's going to allow? It's going to allow us to be ready to give an answer to anybody who sees a difference in our lives. Like we just talked about in Acts, when they say, you have a hope that I don't have. Why? We're going to be able to answer that. And one that I didn't have written down. Can you look up Titus for me, chapter 2? It talks about the older women teaching the younger women in this chapter. And by older here, it doesn't mean necessarily in age, but it means mature in the Lord. Taking those who are younger in the Lord under their wing and... about the men here in verse 1 and 2 of Titus 2. It says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. And then the woman is right after verse 3. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in their behavior, and not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And what have we talked about this whole time? That one of the major reasons that we want to fear the Lord and honor Him is so that nothing in our lives will bring shame to His name. And it says it right there. The reason that we want to be reverent in our behavior is so that the word of God be not blasphemed. Because we don't want anybody to look at our lives who know that we're Christians and say, but I thought you were a Christian. Why are you doing this? Why are you going there? Why are you behaving that way? You know, but rather we want them to look at our lives and to see, wow, they really love their husband. Wow, they love their children. Those are difficult children to love, but look at how they love them. You know, that man, he's maybe your husband is a difficult person to live with, but they might see, wow, look at how you respect your husband in a difficult situation. Or maybe you've got a great husband, but you love him and it shows. You're discreet. You don't talk behind people's backs. You're not backbiters. You're chaste. You're a good homemaker. People come to your home and it's inviting. You are hospitable when people come, and it's a comfortable, welcoming atmosphere for people to be in. You come to my home, you're also going to get a blanket of dog hair. But I hope when you come in my home that you feel welcome, that it's never a, what are you doing here, you know, but come on in. You know that it's an inviting place to be. And that this home here, this church, the same for here, that if people come in, that it would be a welcoming place for anybody, that they would never feel like they're just on the outsider, you know, and, you know, not welcomed in, but that we bring people in and make them feel welcome. Obedient to your own husband, that, again, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So, a reason for fearing the Lord, because it brings honor to him. And then, in conclusion, back in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13, sums it all up, the reason for fearing him. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So this concludes it all. It says it right in Scripture. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why should we fear him? It's Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Because it's our job to do so. He says this is the conclusion of the whole matter. This is it right here. Fear God, keep his commandments, because it's the duty of man. God has saved us through so great a salvation. He calls it in the New Testament, our reasonable service to serve him, our reasonable service to fear him, to follow his commands. What else should we do but follow him, love him, fear him, honor him, bring glory to his name? And so I thought that was a great place to finish this study, because what more can we say? Our lives should reflect him and what he's done for us. And as we've looked at this woman and the incredible character that she has, and the reason that she can be called virtuous is because she fears him. Everything that has come out of her life that we've looked at over these past 13 weeks, every single character trait that came into her life comes solely down to this one verse. Where do all those character traits come from? Nowhere else but the fact that she fears God. And if we want to be called virtuous, if we want these character traits to pour out of our lives, the place that we start is with the duty of man. Fear him. Have a reverence for God where you don't ever want to bring shame or blaspheme his word. And that character is going to come. It's going to come in how you deal with your husband. It's going to come in how you deal with your children. It's going to come in how you deal with whoever he puts under your care. It's just going to pour forth. There's nothing else that can happen if we are walking after him, because it leads to all these benefits that we talked about. And I labeled them A, starting at A, and I went through U. There's 26 letters in the alphabet, and that's just a few shy of 26. So 26 incredible benefits that come from fearing him. And what did he say? It's our reasonable service to do it. So, and he doesn't ever ask us to do anything that he doesn't give us the ability to do. So we can do it. We can be this virtuous woman.